Still Kirby. Lovely check. Kirby!
Welcome to a sad, disappointed maybe, Fran Kirby's Fight Club. I'm Andre Carlisle. I'm here with Miriam, of course, to review a very unfortunate day. 4-1, Chelsea lose at the Emirates to Arsenal. Now tied the top of the table, which, again, not the worst result, but a draw or a win would have obviously been the best for the title chances, but now we're in a race. So anyway, Miriam, how are you feeling?
I'm okay. I'm feeling a little shaky. I've missed the last couple of pods. I developed a weird ear condition over the weekend of my birthday, which has made me quite dizzy, and didn't get to really celebrate my birthday. And then I was going to celebrate again this week, and then that condition came back. So maybe I'm just not meant to be 25. No. I'll stay 24 if that's the plan. But I could have really done with some good news today, and it's just not been good. I mean, the refereeing has been awful, and we'll try not to go on too much about that because there's a lot more to talk about tactically, but a lot of stuff just has been difficult to watch. The performance was difficult to watch, and it's always worse when it's Arsenal in front of 60,000 people as well. So it's not been a great day for me.
Yeah, sorry to hear that about the air condition. I hope they figure out going on.
It's like a viral thing, so I'm just gonna have to like suck it up and just let it happen, which is always the worst. But as I said, you know, it would have been nice to have some good news today, but alas, it has not gone that way.
It has not. And so let's just go ahead and start talking about the match. I think from the very beginning, you know, I full disclosure, when these games are the early kickoff, they kick off at 7:30 a.m. my time. I wake up at about 7:27. So, so I was looking at the starting lineup and I was like, really? And I guess that's the place to start. Where were you?
Yeah. I just thought I kind of had to sort of figure out a little bit. And I just thought we looked a little bit light in the holding midfield position, especially because Arsenal like to isolate with their wide forwards. And I just thought Cuthbert might have a little bit too much to do. Not having Kirby in there upset me a tiny bit because I just think Kirby is such a creative player. And when we're trying to play possessive football, Arsenal's mid block has been an issue for us. We always know what happens in games like this. Like this fixture is just haunted or something or the other because we either suck at it or, to be more truthful and honest, the referees give it, you know, a hard time for us. So I was worried a tiny bit. I thought we'd be okay. Obviously, no Millie is huge. It just changes the way our defense looks. We had Mielder in there instead with Carter, and then obviously Perisse and Charles. So it was a completely sort of different back line. And straight away, six minutes, maybe I missed actually that first goal. We saw straight away how different our defense looks when there's no Millie Bright in it.
Yeah, and that kind of was the thing for me with this lineup. I was actually, you know, we heard from Emma in the middle of the week in the build up to the match that Guo Wrighton and Melanie Leupolz were back. Guo Wrighton made the bench, Melanie Leupolz did not. So that was a little bit interesting to me, but also interesting, like you mentioned, was just kind of the midfield. Aaron Cuthbert had a lot to do. I don't love Jesse Fleming in this kind of like more advanced role, like kind of as an attacking mid almost. She's gets lost a little bit sometimes. And I also think he just needed a bit more stability. So I was a little surprised not to see maybe Sophie Ingle if Leupolz couldn't go, and especially once changes were made. But let's go ahead and just talk about that first goal, because honestly, my biggest problem was the defense. I talked about this with Harry Edwards last time that we were on, and we were really like, I don't know what's happened with Khadija Buchanan, but clearly Emma Hayes seems to trust Mary Mielda the most or more, and that's a little bit concerning. So it was the Mielda-Carter partnership, and then Perisse was on the right, and Arsenal really attacked that side. Like, they really, really went after that side, and it buckled a few.
Yeah, and I think you notice when Millie's playing that she's often coming across a lot. She's coming across and she's going back. She's very good at doing that. When her defense is stretched because oppositions are playing wide forwards, she's really key. And even for England, you would say the same, that England has really suffered without her for that same reason. And Arsenal were on top of that. They saw straight away the fullbacks are the danger areas. They're pushing up high. They're trying to play in a wide formation, and Catley and Little were just, it's like they'd done their homework. They knew where our weakness areas were, and that's where the goal came down. And I managed to watch the replay of it rather than seeing it live, because I would have liked to see what was happening in the build up. But it was like chaos. What was happening in that back line? Players were everywhere and nowhere, just all over the place. And Beth is obviously a special player, but at the best of times, giving her that amount of space in that time is just criminal. And that's not any fault of the goalkeeper, but I think that our defense was just no place to take any sort of cover at all.
Yeah, and that kind of became like a theme, unfortunately. You know, so they score first, and then the good news was Conrad answered back. You know, he's got the goal, the ball on the wing again, just playing with so much confidence, running direct. It was great. There was maybe a shout for Sam Kerr being in the goalkeeper's eye line once she shot.
Yeah,
I didn't really see it. I think the commentator thought that at first, and then once saw replays, they were like, no, that's not accurate. So I saw some of that on the timeline, but I just thought it was a really good run and a quick shot by Conrad to get by the near post. And at 1-1, it was looking like, okay.
Yeah.
Like they've had their run. They're at home. You know, they got the crowd, or they got the early goal to get the crowd into it. We settled things down. We might be okay.
Yeah, and I saw that goal, and I just thought this is the blueprint, right? Give the ball to Neem Charles. She does her, you know, she's Neem Charlesing over there. She does her wonderful two step and passes over, and then suddenly there's acres of space between Arsenal's back line and midfield line. There's acres of space. You know, they're pressing in a 4-3-3 shape as well, but obviously what Charles has done here has completely broken their press down. And so straight into JRK, and then, like you say, quick fire shot. And that's it. That's the pace we need to keep up at. And I just thought that whole moment from defense to attack was what we were gearing up to do now. But from 1-1, feeling quite confident, Arsenal knew that they could get us again. And I have to say, and this may be slightly controversial, I think that Lauren James's defensive work was a little sus today. I think that she was really struggling drifting inside, and that was creating space over on Perisic's wing, which is where a couple of goals came down, especially Russo's goal. James then swapped sides because I think that McCabe was giving her a really hard time, and just generally she looked frustrated today. There was an incident that people are going to claim she was being violent and aggressive. She really wasn't. You know, she put her foot out as she was getting into a stride, but I won't say that incident was aggressive, but I will say generally she looked frustrated. And I think that in a 4-3-3 shape, there's a big weakness where your front three have to play a big part in defending as well. And I think that she slightly let us down today. And I don't say that lightly, because we love Lauren James and she's goddamn amazing, you know, but I think Arsenal did their homework. I think they knew what was going to happen if they frustrated her, take time away from her on the ball, because they just knew that their chances would come, and lo and behold, they scored three more goals.
Yeah, the Lauren James thing is tough for me, because I saw, you know, she had that early challenge with Katie McCabe, and McCabe was yelling at the ref, and then Lauren James kind of had this sly look at her that was kind of like, okay. And I was thinking like, all right, channel that with the game, don't let the frustration boil over. And it's tough when you have a player like her, because what she wants to do is get on the ball, and she takes her time on the ball. We always talk about how patient she is, how she likes to weave in and out of multiple players, but it also gives the defense time to react. So multiple players were crowding her, and it was tougher for her to get out. She got fouled a lot. And when she was getting fouled, she was usually running backwards. It's not like she was going toward goal, just because of how Arsenal were defending her, which is probably the best way to defend her. But it ended up frustrating her. And I do think like that kick out was, that's borderline. Like that's to me, that's in the same category of what we saw at the World Cup against Nigeria. And I was just like, okay, so somebody needs to have a little chat with her about these things, because she's lucky it wasn't a red, I do believe. Like it was really
a yellow,
a really bad movement. Yeah, they called it a yellow. I actually think she got yellow for dissent, and the ref probably missed that late step. But I was just like, in these kind of games, you just really have to keep your head. It's going to be tough and it's going to be frustrating, but I just think it made me sad to see that reaction from her. I wanted to see her, you know, put her foot through the ball, score a goal, and then like that's how you respond. But she had that one shot that was close, and then kind of nothing else.
Yeah, and if you look at that England game earlier in the week, before they had their final game, the Nations League, she assisted one, and she scored an absolute banger. That was when England needed her. They were down and they were struggling, and she came with two goals, a goal and assist, and was just absolutely amazing. And it was because, as you say, she had time on the ball to make those chances. Every time she drifted in from a certain wing, there was no pressure on her at all. And I think that today Arsenal did the opposite of that. Although she was doing well on bringing the ball forward, every time she had any chance to cut into the box, they were on top of her. McCabe was on top of her, almost following her around. And, you know, we know that McCabe is really good at doing that kind of marking. So it just seems like Arsenal had a sort of specialist type of way of approaching her, and there was no way to combat that. It reminds me, as you say, reminds me a little bit of that game against Nigeria at the World Cup, a little bit about Barcelona's first leg last year. There's elements definitely where when she's frustrated, I'm not going to say that she's aggressive or violent, because I think that's really negative language that you know has racial undertones, but I think that she gets frustrated and she's no longer able to be part an active role in possession. So I think, should Emma Hayes have taken her off, should she had come off for somebody else, we can only speculate. But I think you're right in saying that there's a conversation to be had here, and we know that Emma's going to have conversations like that because she's no stranger to those conversations.
Yeah, so you know, you mentioned it, the two quick fire goals, to me those were probably the most frustrating. Mm-hmm. The first one was Amanda Ilestedt, which, she's a tall Swedish defender. What do you expect her to do, right? Like that. Yeah. We saw this all during the World Cup. What, she was in line for the golden boot at one point because of just being tall and getting her head on the ball like 3 yards from goal. Like that's kind of what she does. The defending on that was really bad. And Berger made some really bad mistakes, just came mm-hmm. flying out, got nowhere near the ball. I don't really understand what she was doing, especially because it's not like the ball was right like on the doorstep. It was a little bit further out. You could have kind of waited for the contact so you could be on the line to save it if you're not going to get to the ball. So it was just a bad decision to come out and then get nowhere near the ball, I thought, on that one. And then the Russo goal was just like, again, attacking that right side of the defense, very, very easy to get by. I love Mara Mielda, but, you know, against some weaker opposition, it feels like she can still do a job. But when it's a really quality attack with an attack with different tools to be able to get around defenders, it's really tough to put her in that position. And I just thought Russo, and there was even a time when Kim Little tried to split the defense and got like a ball in. And I was like, okay, if Kim Little is like running through, nothing wrong with Kim Little, but if you're looking at her winning headers from lofted balls over the top, that's a bad sign for your central defense. And I just think it was very poor. It was a very poor period of play from Chelsea that gave up two quick goals that really could have easily been avoided.
Yeah, I thought, and I watched it again, I thought that our Perisay and Charles on both sides were pushing up really high, allowing the ball to be played in behind. But although that's usually worked well for us in the past in terms of transitions, what Arsenal were doing were forcing turnovers, high pressure, high press, not allowing that to happen. And suddenly there's a whole swathe of space behind you and you're operating with a back three because your fullback's in trouble. And they did that a couple of times. In fact, to a certain extent, that's kind of how we scored our goal. But they were more successful at our own game plan, which is a little concerning. And so, yeah, we approach a half time now, 3-1 down, and I'm just sitting there thinking there's got to be half time changes because it's not working. Need a double pivot, need to change something in midfield. Luskin is just not being allowed to be creative. So what's going to happen? And Emma was on the same page because she made three substitutions.
Yeah, the Nuskin thing is interesting because we've kind of been, you know, it's kind of been a fun little joke, I think, for just kind of like what we thought Nuskin was bought for, what we thought we brought her in for. And instead, she's been playing more advanced roles. Mm-hmm. I thought this was the kind of game where you really wanted her to sit deep. Even if you wanted her to sit deep alongside Aaron Cuthbert, I think it really would have helped solidify the defense. And then maybe then you start to build out. Maybe one of them can go forward just a little bit to kind of act as that number eight to link the attack in the midfield. But that did not happen. You know, Nuskin was up high. Jesse Fleming was up high. Aaron Cuthbert was alone on her own. And then Nuskin took that blow to the head. And I think that I haven't seen anything after the game. The presser's probably happening right now. But I think she was probably subbed because of that head injury, because I think you probably want to have her in. She's such a physical player and she's super athletic. She could really bother them deeper in midfield too as Arsenal try to build up. And that's one thing that I was like, I like the changes at halftime. I thought that whole right side of the defense needed to be changed, but I was sad to see Nuskin go off, even if it was for Fran Kirby.
Yeah, I think you are right. It's almost like she wasn't being utilized as well as she could have had, because like, even if you look at the men's side, and Liverpool do this really well, or they have been doing with Trent, is when you have someone just sitting there who can ping passes, it makes for such a smoother build-up play, and we just weren't having any midfield control in terms of possession. No passes were going through it at all, and she could have really sat deep. I mean, I know we didn't have Leupolz or even Kankovic, but that, like, a Leupolz or Kankovic type person would have been a deeper Nuskin, right? Like, that would have worked out. But as you say, that sub was made and Kirby was allowed to come on. And in my head, I'm just thinking, play her, like, as wherever she wants, just let her do her thing, right? And let Cuthbert just sit there. And now we've got a back three with Ashley Lawrence and Khadija Buchanan coming in. That's maybe going to help us pass things along now. And it did for a little bit. Things definitely improved. We had a sort of building in a 3-4-3 and things looked a little bit smoother. But then, again, the back line looks so difficult. And I feel when Ashley came on, she was, again, it's her role. She's the best at it. She was playing super high, man-marking a couple of the Arsenal players. But then the ball in behind every time. And for whatever reason today, Berger did not inspire confidence in me. In terms of like staying in her box and not following the defence further up the field, because that ball in behind, it was just every time Arsenal were in and every time my heart was just like in my throat.
Yeah, this is the second time in probably the last, what, couple weeks or couple games at least, that Berger and Carter have had really bad communication. Because, like, mm-hmm. man, we've seen it a number of times. It wasn't just for the I'm going to say the interaction that was called a penalty. Because honestly, I was so frustrated at that. That was just such a stupid decision to make in a game like this. Like, it was unnecessary. Carter got the touch on the ball. The ball was away. It was really just Beth Mead. Obviously, she doesn't have, like, she's not going to be able to slow her momentum. So, of course, she's going to run into Berger. But Berger came off her line really early. That's just a hint of nervousness, I believe, as well. It was just really frustrating to see that this kind of communication breakdown kind of keeps happening, where Berger doesn't know where they come out, doesn't know whether Carter's going to deal with it. Carter doesn't know whether she should deal with it. And then Berger's going to come out, that indecision, and then they both react at the same time. And it just creates bad scenarios. And that's really what happened in that goal. I think if the ref could have taken another look at that, it wouldn't have been a penalty. But real time, I understand, you see a collision and you think, oh, the goalkeeper came out completely swept. But you look at it from the reverse angle and Carter's the other side with the ball. Mm-hmm. Beth Mead was never getting there. And she did, more than anything, she ran into Anne Katchenberger. And like, that's not really a penalty in my book.
Yeah. And what's annoying is that we should have had a penalty too with Fran in the box, who got absolutely shoulder barged in the box. And it was definitely in the box. They showed a replay. She's on the other side of the white line. So it's just, it feels like there's not been enough consistency today. And to be honest, like I've said before, this is generally the case in this fixture. We've had it in previous seasons, handballs, penalties, offsides. It's something about this game. Maybe referees know that it's a big game, so they try to let the game flow, but you can lose a handle on that if you aren't firm with decisions that need to be given. In a sense, yeah, the Lauren James one, that was in front of the referee as well. So maybe if I'm arguing against, I have to also say that one might have been a red card, but we should have had a penalty. Russo was offside for her goal. Maybe Sam Kerr was, although we tend to think that that's not the case from replays. It just feels like there's been a lack of consistency from the referee. And I know we could sit here and say, or even some people might say, this is a case for having VAR, but I just think that communication is just as important as consistency. And that seems to be really lacking here. We have no idea why certain decisions are made. And even up to yesterday, again, in men's football, the Arsenal-Aston Villa game, Liverpool-Crystal Palace, the same thing happens. And VAR is in play there, but they still don't get communication right. So it doesn't inspire confidence in me. And I just think that we can sit here and complain, but we just don't have it figured out yet to be using technology like that. And I don't think that it's a good place to try and experiment that in women's football.
Yeah, I think I've said pretty consistently that I don't want to see VAR mm-hmm. as it's used yeah. in pretty much any league. I really think if something like it comes, it really truly must follow the strictest of clear and obvious, right? Because I think those are the issues where we're coming in. Think about the game versus Real Madrid. Clear and obvious, you know, not a penalty mm-hmm. With that tackle outside the box. Like, there are so many instances where if you just look at it one more time, you can make a quick snap decision and say, okay, I've seen this from two angles now. 10-15 seconds, reverse that call. That's what we really need, because it's those types of things that are causing big problems and making everybody kind of clamor for VAR. But trust me, I watch it in multiple leagues.
Yeah.
Even in the NWSL here in the women's league, domestically in the US, it's not great. I prefer not having that full implementation. Just get the obvious calls, right? That are wrong, get them right. And I think that's good enough. And that's where we should be.
I think you make a really good point there, because like most people want VAR because there's been a handful of like really bad decisions, right? We don't necessarily want VAR for everything, but that's what men's football has. It's everything, every line, every dot, every foot, every goddamn brow hair offline. Like, we don't want that. We just want you to, if somebody is in the box and they get fouled, we just want you to say it's in the box, you know. It just make the obvious ones, and then the rest we don't necessarily need, you know. If someone is like offside by their hair or whatever, that's not necessarily something I want to sit there for 20 minutes and get a bunch of lines out for. So I think you're right. But then going to back to that question, how do we help the issue of the fact that we're making mistakes with obvious errors, even things that aren't, you know, that seem to be there, we're making mistakes there. So how do we sort of fix that? Maybe that's a question for another time. But I think you're right in saying it's not something we want implemented in women's football. And I used to be pro, I will admit, I used to be pro, but the more and more I watch men's football, and like you in other leagues, it's just like, god damn, that's just too much stress. I don't want that. Too much stress. Not necessary. Just make the right decisions as much as you can. But even apart from that, I think that we played poor today, and we didn't have necessarily the personnel. Would it have been different if Kankovic or Lopez was around? Would it have been different if Millie Bright was in? Would we have played differently if Musovic was in goal? Sam Kerr didn't have much of air time, and late on Mia Fischel came on. It's been a tough day, I think.
Yeah, I think that to me is the headline. I think there were two real issues in the game. I think the team that Emma selected was poor. This is why I'm always worried about matches after an international break. You know, I do not know, but you can kind of guess from the starting 11, but I do not know who came back like fit and ready to start a match. Obviously, we have another game midweek, so there's that in her mind as well. And this is not an opponent you really want to face coming off the back of an international break, because you're probably not going to be able to field your strongest lineup. Millie Bright is still injured, which is a big deal, because she's meant to be the anchor of the defense and is when she's fit. But we don't have that right now. So then you have to patch that together. And the decisions that you need to make to patch that together are tough. Canada had two pretty intense games on turf against Brazil in Canada. So Ashley Lawrence coming back, Khadija Buchanan coming back, Jesse Fleming coming back. You know, Fleming gets the start, but the other two don't. And they come on at halftime. And you just wonder, like, could other decisions have been made? I just really thought it was a bad setup from the beginning. If I were to have to select a team to go into the Emirates, I think that was a poor lineup to decide, like, that's how we're going to play that game. You know, it's going to be intense. You know, there's going to be a lot of people there. You know, Arsenal knows they need the, if they have any chance of winning the league, they have to win that game. And you need to react to that before it happens, because you know it's going to happen. And then tactically, it was also tough. I think some of that was because of what Arsenal was doing to kind of win the ball back, to really like dominate possession and kind of put Chelsea under pressure every time they started going forward. And then a lot of indecision started happening, even in midfield, which was really tough to see. You know, Aaron Cuthbert holding on to the ball too long, Jesse Fleming being a bit indecisive around the box. There was one where she just kind of had the ball and just kind of like was kind of just standing there with it. And it was like, you have an option out wide. You can clip in across. You can like do a square ball across, because now you have somebody coming in at the top of the box that's inverting. You can also get the ball over there, and just kind of stood there for a second. And then Arsenal closed down and they won the ball. And it was just like, the team was just super off today.
Yeah. And I think we gave up too much possession. Like, you're right. Too much possession in the first and second play. First and second phase. I think our pressing game was just nowhere near where it should be, and Arsenal's was, and it really was down to pressing. They were press resistant, we were not. They were able to press and force turnovers in high danger areas, and we did not. They came here with a game plan specific to our style of football. We did not. It's disappointing, because this is un-Chelsea. This is not like us. But as you say, there's a couple of things that have gone wrong today, and we can only hope that we learn from that, because now from here on now, it's level pegging. You know, I think we're on the same points now. It used to be we were 3 points or four ahead, and we're in a position to where we were last season and the season before, where it's you got to win every game now from here on. So we made it hard for ourselves. We only do it the hard way, but we can only hope that things don't revert to this this game because it was not something that we should go back to ever.
Yeah, and I would say there are two things I want to say to that. Like, we played Manchester City away, we played Arsenal away. They do have to come to, well, not King's Meadow. I think both those games are going to be played at the Bridge. So there's that. We still have to play those teams at home, which hopefully we have a good crowd. I'm not going to get into that discourse, but hopefully we have a good crowd. And they have to play. And we know Chelsea plays really well at home. And I also think, like, you know, don't we love winning the title on the last day? You know, yeah. We give everybody hope. And then all of a sudden we win the title on the last day. If you're 6 points clear in December, do you really have that option without, like, massively collapsing in the second half of the season? So
you're saying it's
maybe this
was
just a setup. Yeah, maybe this was just a setup to do it again. Emma signs off. It's another last day, final day, like, hat trick from Sam Kerr. We're good to go. You know, and Sam Kerr has a new contract ready to sign right after that game. Like, everything's going to be fine. I really piled up the optimism here because I just saw a quote from Emma Hayes that says that Millie Bright's going to be out with her knee injury until 2024.
Why would you say that? I didn't even know this. You just sprung this information on me. You know, left us all clueless. But no, I think you're right in saying that everything's going to be fine because it's very easy to come away from a fixture like this and feel like you're spiraling. There's going to be a lot of people upset about various things and various stuff. And of course, we've spent this half an hour ranting as well. However, we are the four-time WSL champions. We're on course for a fifth. We have the squad depth. You know, we've had a couple of unfortunate injuries. We know what to do in situations like these. We had the gap, the 4 points to make a mistake, right? It would have been much different if we were on level points and Arsenal win. Now we're 3 points behind. We're on the same level now. Let's just go on from here and forget what's happened today and try and get back to what Chelsea do best. I think that's it. That's a takeaway point. Because in some sense, when things are hard, you have to obviously be upset and you have to process them. But at some point, you've got to get up and move on. And so we need to make sure that we do that. And we're not in a place where, you know, we've lost a bunch of games in a row. There's no need to feel too defeatist about it. It's just a bit annoying, especially when there's refereeing stuff. But I think we'll be okay. And at least that's how I felt before you said that stuff about Millie Bright. So I'm going to pretend that didn't happen. And time has been looped around and we're back to feeling positive again.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get it. I know that these games are frustrating. You never want to lose to a rival, especially a title rival, especially a London rival, especially Arsenal of all teams. You know, 4-1. It can, when you look at what the perception of some teams, I really think that Arsenal gets a boost a lot of times in discourse because of who they sign. You know, they sign Alessia Russo. That's a big deal. You know, she's an English superstar. And I think that people look at that team and think that Arsenal should be the best team, but the results haven't proved that Chelsea have been, and for a long time. Speaking of which, Chelsea have Champions League games to look forward to in December, and Arsenal do not because they weren't good enough to make it. So I do think that you do have to, like, take all of these things in perspective and see, yes, this was a very poor decision. I think Arsenal played their best game of the season. And I don't think Chelsea were prepared for that, which to me falls on Emma a little bit, or not even a little bit, a lot. And that's disappointing, but it is not Chelsea's level. Chelsea's level is not losing 4-1 to Arsenal. We can play much better than that. We have a much stronger 11 that we can start. And that's why I'm kind of looking forward to 2024 as well, because if that's when Millie Bright's going to be back, cool. We've also heard that Macario is going to be back on the pitch in 2024. Like, this team has definite levels to come back to. Guo Wrighton got her first minutes in months now. That's good to see. Like, this team has the ability to be much better than we saw today. And we know that because we have a whole season of build up until this point to see. And we still have multiple matches to come to look forward to. Like I said, Champions League, we play at home against BK Akin Thursday, 8 p.m. local time, kickoff 3 p.m. over here in the States on the East Coast. Then we play Bristol City away. That's our last league game of the year. And then we play Haken away again in the Champions League. That one is December 20th. So we have a few matches to kind of turn this around so that we don't, like, end the new year in 2023 on a bad note. Yeah, this match stings, but we'll be back to winning ways soon enough, I feel.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it. No other way to think about it. And for anyone who's sitting there and feeling miserable or upset about themselves, I think that's just the perfect advice.
All right. Anything else before we get out of here? I mean, I know I don't like dwelling in the losses, but I feel like we do have to talk because I know that, like, the supporters are frustrated. Everybody's frustrated. Nobody woke up and felt like this was the way the game was going to go today. So, like, anything else to, like, appease the people's minds or anything else that you want to get to?
I saw a funny tweet earlier from Parry Edwards. He was like, Emma Hayes said that Melanie Lupus was in the squad. I guess she just meant that she was alive. And I thought that was really funny because Emma made it sound like she was going to get picked and then she's not in the squad. And you mentioned it earlier. And I think that's the thing. You're always guessing with Emma Hayes. And even in today's game, like we said, there's always a game in which controversial things happen. But I think you've got to laugh at it as well sometimes. It's pretty funny that things like this happen. And if you can't be sad about it, you just got to laugh about it and know that this season will likely end in another WSL title for us. And we look back at this particular podcast and we know that we called it. It's going to happen. We'll just let Arsenal fans have a little moment of joy. It's Christmas. Christmas is coming up. It's a Christmas spirit. Let them have their little joy for a couple of weeks. We get into the new year, take down the Christmas tree and decorations, and we get back to business. That's my advice.
I also think Emma Hayes is right there with you because she apparently was joking a bit, quite a bit, and not like making a bunch of jokes or light of it, but apparently, you know, this was such a poor performance. Like, what else can you do? Like, Chelsea's not going to play like this many times at all. Maybe not ever the rest of the season. Like, it would surprise me if we saw another performance like this from Chelsea. So she was asked if there were any positives at all from today, and she joked that she's got a 20-minute drive. And I feel like that's the energy that we're going to leave with. Like, this game is over. It's done. Go home, you know, do whatever you want to do to take your mind off the game. I think that's a good idea. Still a long season, still tied at the top of the league. We're fine. It's going to be all right. We're still in the Champions League. Still a lot to play for. Still a lot to look forward to with other players coming back on the pitch as well, so we can see what the full Chelsea looks like. Any of the sky is falling or Arsenal are now the best team in the league stuff, whatever. Let them talk that talk right now.